Good evening, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Good.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started, and today we are going to be learning about the kingdom of God. Go ahead and go to the first slide, and the next slide, actually. What is a kingdom? Who thinks they know? How would you describe it? What is a kingdom?
A castle.
You think of a castle. All right. What is
I think a big city.
A big city. All right. Are there any kingdoms in the world? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes. Can anyone name one?
London.
London's in a kingdom. What do we call it? The United Kingdom. Yes. They have. Do they have a king or a queen? You know?
I know.
Queen Elizabeth II. Yeah. Any other kingdoms in the world? I was actually surprised how many there are. Any other kingdoms? There are. Thailand is a kingdom, and so is Japan. They just have a new king, actually. And Saudi Arabia, sometimes you hear about the king of Saudi Arabia. And Sweden and Norway, those are also kingdoms. So, quite a few kingdoms. Here we see the crown for the English king or queen. So, huge diamond right there, over 300 carats. How would you like that crown? I think that's worth quite a bit. Yeah. That's why I don't think they normally wear it. They just normally take pictures of it. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And what is the kingdom of God? Let's first of all notice that it was the focus of John the Baptist's preaching. So Matthew 3, 1-2, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if you go to the next slide, you'll see John the Baptist here, and he was baptizing. He was telling people about the kingdom of heaven. And what was he saying that people should do to get ready? How should they get ready for the kingdom?
Glorify God.
Well, let's go back. Go back one slide. Can we go back? What did he say that they should do? Repent. They need to get right with God. Go ahead to the next slide after John the Baptist. It was also the focus of Jesus' preaching. Jesus preached about the kingdom. Now, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist, had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, what did he say? Everybody,
repent,
for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus was preaching the same message as John about the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does it mean here when it says at hand? If I forgot my phone at my house, we had to drive 30 minutes to get here, is my phone at hand?
No.
What do you think? Can I easily grab it?
No.
No, it's not at hand. But if my phone happens to be right here, is it at hand? Yes, it is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. So that's what Jesus and John the Baptist were preaching. Let's go on to the next slide. A kingdom means there is a king. How can you have a kingdom without a king or queen? Well, who is the king? If the kingdom of heaven is at hand, well, who's the king? Does anybody think they know? Yes, right there.
God.
Well, it's the kingdom of God, so yes, it's God. But who specifically? Because the last time I was teaching, remember, we learned that God is one God, who has revealed himself in three persons. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who is the king, specifically? Jesus. Because Jesus is here, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what kind of a kingdom were they expecting? What do you think? What were they wanting? What kind of a kingdom were they wanting? Yeah, they want a kingdom that's physical, where there's lots of fighting and swords and beating up their enemies. that sounds pretty good, especially if your enemies are really strong and you have to pay them high taxes, which is what they had to do at the time. They were looking forward to that kind of a kingdom coming. But look at what Jesus said as he preached. Look at the kinds of things that Jesus said as he preached about the kingdom. Go ahead. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit? Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Does this sound like a military conquest to you? No, it doesn't. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It was a little confusing at first for people because Jesus, he wasn't talking about a military takeover. He wasn't having people do sword practice so they could fight the Romans. No, he was preaching about God's kingdom, but it belongs to the poor in spirit, to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, if you look at the next slide here with me and Daniel, you can see why people maybe were expecting a military leader when they thought about the kingdom of heaven coming. Because Daniel said, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Just picture it with me. Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Who knows the person this is talking about? It talks about the Son of Man. His kingdom shall not be destroyed. Who is this Son of Man?
God. Jesus.
Jesus. And Jesus is God, so you're right. It is Jesus. He's the Son of Man who comes to his Father and receives dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And when Jesus was on trial in front of the religious leaders, he said that this applied to him. He is the one coming with the clouds of heaven. He is the one who has this kingdom. But he didn't come to bring it in a physical way the first time. No, he came to die for us and for our salvation. In a way, didn't Jesus come so that all people, nations, and languages should serve him? So that people from every part of the world can be saved from their sins and serve God? Yes, Jesus did. But this won't be fully fulfilled. This won't be completely happening until Jesus comes the second time. And then Jesus will bring the kingdom in its fullness. Well, let's keep on looking at what Jesus taught about the kingdom. We can see why people were a little confused, because they were expecting Jesus to defeat their enemies. Well, Jesus taught some other things about the kingdom in his parables. Let's take a look at a parable that Jesus taught. And take a look at this next picture. This is something that some young people, maybe the same age as some of you guys, last year, I guess they were maybe out of school because of coronavirus or something, I'm not sure, but they had some extra time and they were digging in Israel. And in Israel, they have a lot of stuff under the ground because people have been living there a long time. And look at what these kids found. There are gold coins they found in an ancient jar that was buried. 425 gold coins. They are 1,100 years old. At the time, these coins could have bought a luxury house in the nicest neighborhood. Today, they're still worth quite a bit. $52,000. So would you like to be one of the young people who found these gold coins? That'd be pretty neat. Now, let's look at the parable that Jesus taught. Jesus said this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So, if you found, go ahead and go back to that picture with the gold coins. Let's say you found this in a field. What would cause a person to sell everything and buy the field? Why would they do that?
There might be more like around it.
True. And how much are these worth? A little or a lot? I mean, these gold coins are enough to buy a really nice house. At least in Jesus' day they would have been. So, why would a person sell all they have to be able to take possession of these coins?
Because they are worth more.
They're worth more. Exactly right. But let's look at the parable again. Go forward. So why is the kingdom of heaven like those coins hidden in a field? The kingdom of heaven, what is it worth? The kingdom of heaven, it's worth everything. It's worth giving up everything to have it. Think about Jesus' disciples. What did they give up so that they could follow him? So that they could be part of his kingdom? They walked away from everything. The kingdom of heaven is worth giving up everything. It is so valuable, so precious. Well, let's also notice this. Not only did Jesus teach parables about the kingdom, but going on, Jesus' miracles taught people about the kingdom of God. Look at what Jesus said here. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." The miracles that Jesus did, what kind of miracles did he do? He cast out demons. What other miracles did he do? Yes.
He healed the blind.
He healed the blind. Other miracles.
He healed a person who
couldn't walk. People that couldn't walk, yes. He made it so they could walk.
Water into wine.
Turning water into wine.
He took bread and fish and divided it for everyone.
Right, feeding a whole multitude. Anything else? Remember Lazarus, his friend? Right. Somebody who was dead, Jesus made them alive again. And so you know what the miracles of Jesus were doing? They were showing that Jesus had the power to fix what was broken because of sin. Let's look at the next slide here. You know what? Sin breaks everything. It messes up our friendships. It messes up our relationship with God. It messes up our world. Sin has broken our world and broken us. But you know what Jesus was doing? He was fixing the brokenness. He was restoring things back to the way they should be. People who were brokenhearted because their loved one had died, Jesus said, "Don't cry." And their loved one is alive again. People who all their life had been suffering because they couldn't walk or they couldn't see, Jesus healed them so they were perfectly whole. Jesus was fixing the brokenness in our world, showing us what the kingdom of God is like. It is God healing our world, fixing the brokenness. Let's take a look at the next slide as we consider this. Why is our world broken? What do you guys think? Why is our world broken? It's because of
God.
No, God made our world. You're right. Our world is beautiful because God made it. But why is our world ugly sometimes? Why do we watch the news and see so many things that are bad? What do you think?
Sin.
Sin. Rebellion toward God, saying, no, I won't do it God's way. That is what makes our world broken. Let's take a look at what it was like at the beginning. God made a world that was beautiful, that was perfect. There was no disease or death or sickness or pain. But that's not what it is like now. God gave Adam and Eve a wonderful responsibility, ruling over the animals. It's like they were part of God's kingdom there at the beginning. They bore His image. They were living in a perfectly close relationship with God. They were submitting themselves to God's authority. But there was a temptation. Let's look at the next slide. The temptation to be free from God, to be independent, to say, I'm going to be God. I'm not going to listen to the Creator. I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to decide what I will do. What is true freedom? Could you go to the next slide? This is a highway in Colorado. It's one of the highest highways in the United States. It's paved across the Continental Divide. And something that I would like to do, I don't know if I'll ever do it, is ride a bicycle down this highway. Do you guys think that would be fun? I think that would be fun. But what if somebody said, you know what? I want to be free. I don't want to just ride my bicycle down this hill. I want to ride off the road. Go to the next slide. What do you think would happen if somebody, this is that same road, and what it looks like if you go down the hillside. What would it be like if somebody said, I want to be free. I don't want to ride my bicycle on this road anymore. I'm tired of the road. I'm going to go off the road, down the hillside. How would that be? They have one of these huge rocks here and probably split your head open. But you know what? That's the same way as when people say, I want to be free. I want to be independent. I don't want to listen to God anymore. They think it will give them great freedom, but it only leads to pain and brokenness. And so we face the question, should we submit to God as the one who is king? Or should we try to be the king ourselves and make our own kingdom? What do you think? Should we submit to God, or should we try to make our own kingdom? Submit to God. Because true freedom is found in the center of God's will, being submitted to Him. Well, let's go on and consider this question. Who is the true queen, the true king? And as we think about this, let's think about Jesus. You know, sometimes we have a bad attitude, and it's almost like we think that we should be the king. And maybe we grumble and we complain because things don't happen the way we would like. Sometimes we're proud and we want to show off. Sometimes we make fun of others. We don't care about them because we think that we're the only ones who are important. But who is the true king? What do you think? Who is the true king? Jesus is the true king, not us. It's not about us. Look at what Philippians 2 says. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Isn't that hard to do? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, it's just natural for us to care about ourselves. And putting others before ourselves, that's hard, isn't it? But look at what Jesus did. Let's look at the next slide. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should have the mindset, the attitude that Jesus had, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? Even though he was so high, Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus, who is God, was born as a baby. We celebrate that at Christmas, right? And he grew up and he lived a life just like us, eating food, sleeping. He became a teacher and he taught many people. And as we talked about, he did miracles. But look at what else he did. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled himself. And he humbled himself so much that he died on the cross. I think sometimes we forget about how humiliating that was, how shameful it was to die on a cross. Jesus, who deserved the highest praise and honor, he was mocked, he was spit upon, he was slapped, and he endured the most cruel and painful punishment they had. And he did that all for us and for our salvation. But because of that, let's look at how Jesus is exalted. Go to the next slide. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has been exalted. Every knee will bow to him. Jesus is the true King. So who should we give our allegiance to? We should give our allegiance to Jesus. You're exactly right. Let's go on. So Jesus is Lord. Did you know that this was a way that the early Christians professed their faith as believers in Jesus? They would say, Jesus is Lord. Would you mind saying that with me? Jesus is Lord. Right. Were you afraid to say that?
No.
But did you know that that's something that could be dangerous in some places at some times? For the early Christians, it was dangerous for them to say this. They could be killed simply for saying that. Because in their time, who did people think was Lord? Who did they think had the real power?
Emperors and...
Let's look at the next picture and we'll see evidence of this. This is a picture I took in Turkey, and it was an archway that was constructed. Let's zoom in a bit and take a look at this name up here. Go to the next slide. Do you see what this says here? Caesari. That means Caesar. And then it says Divi, which I believe means divine. And then it says Augusto, or Augustus. Augustus Caesar was the Caesar when Jesus was born. And people revered him as if he was God. And if you were not willing to worship the emperor and give him the honor as if he were God, you could be killed. And there were Christians who were killed because they said, Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. Caesar is not God. My allegiance goes to Jesus. And even today, there are countries where Christians are persecuted. And they are compelled to either obey the government and disobey God, or obey God and be thrown in prison. They have to make a choice. Who will they serve? Will they serve the government and disobey God, or serve God and be thrown in prison? In many countries, Christians have to make that decision. It can be a dangerous thing to say, Jesus is Lord. But he is. Jesus is Lord. How do you think they would proclaim when the Roman army attacked a new city, and they were conquered by the Roman Empire, and Caesar was now their emperor. How do you think they would proclaim that he was their lord? Do you think it maybe went something like this? Maybe there was a nicely dressed man who walked into the town and said, you know, hey everybody, I just want to let you know that there's a guy in Rome. His name is Caesar Augustus. He's a really nice guy. And if you will acknowledge that he is Lord, you're going to have a really good life. You think that's how they said it? No. They said, hey everybody, bow to Caesar or be killed. Now, that's not how we proclaim the gospel, is it? Maybe some people did in the past, but they were wrong. That's not how we proclaim the gospel. But the truth is, Jesus is Lord. Whether you know it or not, Jesus is Lord. Whether you like it or not, Jesus is Lord. Jesus died to rescue you from slavery to sin and death. Jesus arose to defeat our greatest enemy, death. Jesus has ascended to heaven. He's seated on the right hand of the Father. He has all authority in heaven and earth. All authority doesn't belong to the president. It doesn't belong to any king or queen. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. Jesus said it after his resurrection. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So all authority in heaven and earth, who does it belong to?
Jesus.
And he is coming back soon. It could be any time. And he will bring his kingdom in its fullness. So I have one last thing for us to ask and think about. How can I be part of God's kingdom? Jesus said, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people think they can get into God's kingdom by being really, really good. But can we ever have enough righteousness in ourselves to get to be accepted by God and be part of his kingdom?
No.
We need perfect righteousness. God's righteousness. Let's look at the next scribe. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You know what? It's not just enough to say the right things. Maybe to come to ABC Kids. I'm really glad that all of you are here. But it's just not what we say and where we go and who our family is. That isn't what makes us part of the kingdom. We need to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. Look at the next one. Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Jesus said this to the religious leaders. Those sinful people that you look down on, they are entering the kingdom of God. How could sinful people enter the kingdom of God? What do you guys think? Jesus told the religious leaders, the guys who thought they were so righteous, he told them those sinners are entering the kingdom of heaven before you. How can a sinner enter God's kingdom? Especially if we have to have perfect righteousness.
By loving him, because he commands.
Loving him and doing what he commands. And what does God command? That we believe in Jesus and trust in him so that we can receive his forgiveness and his righteousness that's given to us. It's not because of their righteousness. It's because of their faith in Jesus. They are given his perfect righteousness. Let's look at the next one. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A person must be born again. all of us have been born physically, right? But we need to be born again. Born spiritually. We need a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. Are you part of the kingdom of God? Do you know that Jesus is Lord? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Well, our memory verse is next. And so our memory verse is Matthew 6:33. Let's say it together. But see ye, I'm sorry, Matthew 6:33. But see first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right, let's try it again with a few words missing. Go to the next one. Matthew 6:33. But see first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's try it again. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right. Again, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
All right, very good.